You want to talk about a guy who's relentless? It is Zach Evanesh. So if you're looking for a role model, look no further than Zach. Ladies and gentlemen, Z.
Thanks, Jimmy. All right.
And he needs two bottles of water.
So I knew I was going to be thirsty up here. All right, so this what we're going to be talking about, what I want to really unleash. First, you got to get, I see a lot of people got their pen and their paper ready. I want you to take notes. There's going to be some critical action steps that you guys are going to take. And this is really kind of going to be the story of how I've created what I have now. And it's going to really focus on the gym that I run, which is run part-time. I train only who I want to train. I'm doing what I love. I'm only really working with the people I want to love. And it's pulling in six figures a year. So I work 2 days out of the week. It's 2 hours. The other 3 days out of the week, 3 hours. So 9 plus 4, 13 hours a week in the gym. That pulls in six figures. We're at like $8,500, $9,000 net a month. And it's fun. It's a lot of fun. So I want to tell you guys how I do it. And even if you just take some of the stuff that I'm giving you, you will win. Like, that's like number one, your mindset that you got to have. And I've got some really cool stuff because I heard people were saying some strange things about me yesterday. So let's prepare. So I think a lot of people, you undervalue yourself. You don't really know actually how valuable you are. So let me tell you how crappy I was not long ago. And this really was we've all had dark times. For everybody here, you've all been kind of at your low point. Maybe you didn't hit the bottom of the barrel. Maybe you did, but I've been down there, and I pulled out. It was really a mindset thing. That was the huge thing. You know, intelligence-wise, I'll be honest, like, I'm not the most savvy technical guy, but I never quit. I freaking refuse to lose. And don't worry, I'm not going to use freaking. It's coming. F-bombs are coming. So 5 years ago, $20,000+ in debt. No lie. I don't even know how many credit cards I had, but I did a little bit of traveling. I did a lot of spending. I wasn't really making a whole lot, so obviously my expenses were here. My income was here, and $2,000 in debt became $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. It was like $24,000, $25,000 in debt. It was scary. It was beyond scary. I had problems sleeping at night. I didn't know what to do. I had financial advisor friends who were thought they could help me, but I couldn't be helped because I just couldn't make enough money. So I was basically working and living to pay off debt. My dad always told me, he's like, Zach, you are a great trainer, but you're a horrible businessman. I was 18 years old. I was training people in this gym for free. And I was like, I love it, Dad. I don't need anybody to pay me. I love it. I was in the gym all day. I'm in college, spending all my time there, making no money. Because in my heart, I was probably like you guys, saying, oh, I love this. You know, you just kind of undermine everything. You don't have to pay me. And my dad, he has, and back then he also owned his own business. And just, he was probably shaking his head at me, you know, wasting hours and hours of my day, years and years. It took me really, I think, until like age 26, 27 to finally get my first client. So it was a good like 8 years before I ever got freaking paid for doing this stuff. So I moved very slow. Here it says, I got fired before I got hired. And in my gut, the only thing that was in my gut was I couldn't sell out. I knew who I wanted to work with, big time. But I also knew I had no money. I had to have a job. I was a teacher during the year, summers off, no way of making income. So I wanted to start applying. I was like, man, I'm a great trainer. I had this great resume. I was a competitive bodybuilder. I knew what I was doing, right? You guys are very, you're not just good trainers. You're great. That's why you're here. But I couldn't find a way to get my word out there. So I was applying to places like Spa Lady. I was like, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to get like all these clients. I would apply to Spa Lady, Bally's. I had this awesome resume. I went through the interview. I was a great interviewer. They loved that. And then whenever they called me, they're like, oh, Zach, we loved your resume. We think you're a great fit. We're going to bring you in. And I was like, I already got a job. I'm good. And the only thing that I could think of going to sleep at night after I dropped off the resume was like, don't sell out. Like, this is not what you want to do. And that sucks if you're going to do this job that you hate. And I get goosebumps when I talk about it because in my head, I was like, oh, you're going to do one more thing that you hate? This was going to just, you know, break me over the top. I was really losing my mind. And in my gut, I knew I wanted to work with somebody who had a little bit of a crazy mentality, somebody who could handle the workouts I wanted to do. I just didn't know where to do it, how to get it. I couldn't find that spa lady. So the whole problem that hit me was being a teacher, something I loved to do. I just have such a passion to do that. Sounds cliche. Oh, why do you teach? You love to work with kids. That was, I couldn't believe they were paying me to teach. I loved it. But it couldn't support anything more than really myself. Because once I, you know, got married, once I had kids, that meant nothing. And it really, you know, it really hit home, hurt my heart, the fact that here's this thing that I love. And my real world job was not enough. I had a master's degree. I was making like $42,000 a year. And if you live, you know, in certain areas of the country, we know certain areas are more expensive than others. In New Jersey, this shit's expensive, man. That stuff is expensive. I was like, I couldn't believe it. You know what it was good enough to do? To live at home, mom and dad buy all the food. I did a little bit of laundry, ladies. I was all right with that. But I could go out on the weekend, and then my money was gone. I'd have a couple $100 in the bank, stuck there all the time. I was embarrassed about, you name it. You could feel that blank should go. Like, if we could lower the screen, it would keep going. I was embarrassed of the fact that I was a guy in my mid-20s. You know, I couldn't break, like, past $200-something in my bank account. If I hang out with my friends and we go out a little bit, the money was gone. I was trying to save money, you know, to get engaged. I had to get a big ring, ladies. That was right. All about that big ring. My wife, I always heard her talking about this 3-carat ring. And it was embarrassing that I was just struggling my way through everything. And what I really felt like was, okay, you're 25, you're 26, now you're 27. But you've, like, existed for these years and you're stuck. I haven't really moved forward. And it was, you know, becoming very painful, very painful. So I had a couple of critical steps. And I knew, number one, I had to invest in my education, find a mentor. I had to like, nail down this system for being successful. That's the only things that I kind of knew of business. Anytime I had watched something about, like, Donald Trump, he's always like, you get yourself a mentor, you invest, you find that. So when I first started, every time I was looking for, like, sports-specific training, personal training, it would pop up to either Perform Better or to Ryan Lee, who a lot of us know. And Ryan Lee had some product, like, how to be like a six-figure trainer. And I was like, oh, this thing is great. And I kept coming back to the website because I was trying to search for other things. But back then it was so new that I guess Google kept pulling it up. I was like, what the hell is this? There's like one thing out here that I could learn from. There's nobody else. And I'm reading the website. It must have been over a week. But it said, like, money back guarantee. I'll give you your money back if you're not satisfied. It was $97. I was like, oh, this fucking dude's crazy. He's going to give me my money back? I'll be all over this thing. I'll ship it back to his ass when I am not making $100,000. I was like, this guy thinks he's crazy? I'm crazier. So I knew that. I was like, I got nothing to lose because I already had negative money. So we couldn't even say I had nothing. I had negative. So I was like, let me just give this dude the $97 and I'm going to get this, you know, program, and I'm going to be fucking the man. I'm going to have the six figures. Everything's going to be rolling. I get it. And if you look in bold, I mean, this stuff is so, I'm telling you, it's cliche, but this is how I roll and this is what gets it done. I took massive action. I worked whenever my wife was working. I worked whenever I had a free minute. I stayed up late. I woke up earlier. I did all these little things that nobody else was willing to do because I knew that because I wasn't really smart, I could just put my head down and get my hands dirty and work. So I listened to every CD that was in that program, and I was taking notes. And I had a computer there. And everything that he said to do, I'd pause the CD, buy the website, pause the CD, invest in this, get your squeeze page. I was trying to figure out all that stuff, pictures, how to build your website. It looked like shit. My website sucked. My website sucked so bad. If you saw this thing, you would be like, what? Look at this. This is horrible. Like, the images were stretched. My headline was probably like, yeah, train with me. You'll, like, kill everybody and you'll crush. It sucked so bad, but I was doing it. I was like, I've got this freaking website. And I was doing stuff. Everything was incomplete, totally imperfect. But I knew that, okay, today's, what's today, Saturday? Saturday. friggin' days. Today's Saturday. I'll tweak it a little bit better Sunday. Monday will be better than Sunday. Tuesday, I'll be twice as good as Sunday. So I knew that I could do that. I didn't sit there. I was already stuck with negative for all these years. So all I knew how to do was take action, one. And two, I had this crazy belief. Whenever I talk about it, it's like goosebumps pop up. Because all I thought was, you can't lose. Like, you've been a loser for so long. Now all you could do is win. That's it. You've lost so much before. Losing sucks. And now you have to just kick ass and figure this out. So I was questioning. I was like, but what the? I don't even have any freaking money. So how am I supposed to kick ass? I have negative money. I already gave Ryan Lee $97. And I couldn't ship it back because it was so goddamn good. I was like, shit, $97. And then the website, 12 bucks a month or whatever it was. I was like, crap, there's more. My God, I think I must have had like 5 credit cards. I didn't know like who it was, but I didn't sweat it because if you ever saw the 25th anniversary of Pumping Iron, I don't know if anybody's into that, but the producers, Charles Gaines and George Butler, they were talking about how they were like, oh, we're going to go to Africa to film this. I'll go to Africa. I'll hop on a plane. They were going everywhere, filming everything. He comes back from Africa and he's like, I get a phone call from American Express because he became their most important client. And he's like, I was so impressed with myself that I was their most important client because I managed to rack up $30,000 in debt. I was like, shit, I am not that bad. I'm like 25 in debt. He's 30. But then I was like, well, that was in like 1970-something, so he was really sucked bad. But now his movie was huge, so I like always found these ways to kind of soften it and not be so upset about it. So I was finding ways, so we're going to take you through a little story time of how it all started. We've got the garage, we've got the limp, and that is not a misprint, okay? And we have the crazy factor. So I want to talk to you about how all those things, those three things tie in with each other. I started training, you know, when I was living at home. Back then, I didn't know that you have to be incorporated, you need insurance and all that stuff, right? I was like, anybody wants to train with me? Do it at my dad's house. Yeah. I had no clue I was running an illegal business in my dad's house, uninsured. You know, not there was enough problems in my house between all the things that my other family members were doing. But luckily for my dad, he was just probably too busy to realize that, like, you know, my son Zach is finally trying to make some money. And, you know, for all these years, so maybe he overlooked it or maybe he didn't really know. So I'm training him in the garage. And the garage, not only this garage is like, it's colder in the garage than outside. It was like always cold. And my first client, the problem with him was he was like 6'5". And the garage, if I had to open the garage because there was no windows on the garage doors. And when I opened the garage, he had to like duck his head to fit in the freaking thing. So anything we did was like, it was too short for him. My only client, couldn't even fit in my garage. And this client, of course, he paid nothing. But let me tell you how I leveraged that because this worked out for me. So I really wasn't even making money yet. So, but I'll still call him my first client because, and what's crazy is he's my client today, but that bastard pays now. He's paying it up. So he's my first client and I was like, dude, I'm going to start a business, but I don't, you know, my dad gave me his old Isuzu Trooper. It was a 4-cylinder. So if I had to like speed up somewhere, I had to like shut the air conditioning off. This thing was like, all I said is if this thing does 20 miles an hour uphill and could do 55 miles an hour, I'll keep it. And it was roll down windows, which sucked because for some reason, every time I would like drive somewhere at a light, like these really hot girls would pull up next to me and ask for directions. And I had to like fucking break my back. It sucked so bad. And the car was like blue and dark and it just, everything was like embarrassing about it. And I remember I was like substitute teacher before that, and this girl told me that it looked like a tank, like an army vehicle. It's like, army vehicle? I got a fucking car. So that, my car could not fit the equipment. I purchased something on eBay. But when I got it on eBay, I was like, oh, fuck, I can't even fit it in my car. I'm not even going to make it. So I call this dude up. He's going to be a senior in high school. It's the summer before senior year. I go, Kurt, I got a good idea. You're training for basketball. I'm a great trainer, right? He doesn't know. I got like no clients. They thought Zach's a big dude. He's a pretty big guy. He's like, you know, they thought that's it. I know everything. So I was like, bro, if you could get your dad's truck, his dad had a huge pickup truck, and you could come with me, to this. They were selling it from a farm. All right, I'll get to that story in a second. They were selling the equipment off a farm. He's like, come with me to pick up this equipment off eBay. I will train you for free all summer. He's like, all right, we'll do it. He asks his dad. His dad's like, all right, go ahead. We get in the big-ass truck, and we live about 25 minutes away from this area. And what happened was a Gold's Gym had moved locations to the other side of the highway, and they gave the equipment to, I guess, a good friend. And I'm thinking, I'm going to a warehouse. Shit looks good. In the picture on eBay, it's a farm. I was like, what in the world? We're wrong. We're in the wrong place. There's like chickens running around. There's a lake. There's goats. This guy comes up. He introduces himself. I'm like, I don't know. Is this supposed to be Gold's Gym like around here? It's like a farm. He's like, are you Zach? Yes. So he takes me in the back. He's got a barn. I've got the dumbbell rack there and a crap ton of old Ivanko plates, all rusty. I must have had two piles this high, 45 and 35 pound plates, which sucked because all my clients were too weak to even put that on the barbell. So I wasted more money on that. I've spent money on eBay. I've got a free client. Once again, I'm training him for free, but I'm not even training in my own garage. I'm training at a gym. And I spot a kid that I used to coach in wrestling. And he's training, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, man, that is not cool. That is not right. And I had my first book from Perform Better. My first book, it was Juan Carlos Santana's book, was on like bodyweight training. And I was like, this shit is going to rock because I ain't got no money anymore for any more stuff, no equipment. I'll do bodyweight training. And this kid was training in the gym. And if you wanted to train in the gym as a guest, it's $5 a day. I said, that's like no brainer. So I go up to him, like, his name was JC. I go, JC, you're training all wrong, bro. If you want to kick ass around, so you got to stop training with that dude. He's like his friend's uncle or something. Oh, you got to train with me. It's $5 an hour. Like, they weren't charging $5 an hour in, like, the early 70s for personal training. I think it was, like, $20 or $15 an hour for personal training back then. And I was personal training. No semi-private, no nothing. So I get my first client. Okay? This was... And by the way, to, you know, fast forward when I spoke about Jim, I actually lost this client for a little bit. So I get this $5 an hour client. I've got JC the wrestler, who could fit in the garage. Kurt, who we always got, like, ducking to get in the garage. And I just came off knee surgery, serious knee surgery, ACL. I was like, all right, we're going to be, like, doing this. We're going to be doing that. I was a wreck. I could barely go up and down the stairs. But I was making it work. I would use whatever I had in my garage. And then I would take them in the backyard. And I was doing all this bodyweight training. They were walking on their hands. They were carrying the stones that we had laid around. There was an axe back there. They were, like, chopping this, like, tree log that was down. And I'm telling you, I saw, like, the wheels turning in my dad's head when he was, like, kind of, like, meandering around the house. He was probably like, oh, shit, like, what the hell is he doing? They're like, one dude's got stones, this guy's chopping wood. Like, he was really confused with what I was doing, but I was promising him that everything was going to be okay. Now, I would leverage everything. So what I did is I would try to rehab my knee. So we'd train in the garage, train in the backyard, and there was a playground. So I would ride my mountain bike, and the knee was so tight, it was like falling off. And they would jog behind me to this playground. But you know how everybody says, like, you need to get, what do you need to get when you go to, like, a park, recreate? Permit. Fuck that, man. I went to this most messed up playground. This playground was so dirty. Like, these kids were, like, smoking cigarettes. There was no park rangers to this. It was kind of like, if you make it out of that playground and you're alive, good for you. No... For all those people knew what I was doing, they were like, that could be some dude, like, creating his own little army. I'll never forget, like, we rode our bikes there, and, like, the kids are always, like, smoking cigarettes, like, on the swings. And I remember the one dude was, like, picking up a stone to clean a press. He's like, there's worms on it. I was like, just do it, man. Clean and press. I was like, it's okay. So... People are like, my friends, I'm kind of telling them, I'm like, dude, my business is pumping. I got one dude for free. I got another dude. He's giving me $5 an hour. We're like, we are tearing this shit up. We're going all over the place. And they're like, Zach, you're fucking crazy, man. You can't do that. You got to go in the gym. You need to get your collared shirt. Like, you got to, like, go into the gym. You need to go into Bally's. Like, go back to Spa Lady. I was like, I can't. My stomach gets messed up when I start thinking of, like, where I don't want to go. So you got to think about, where do you want to go? Where do you not want to go? Where will you refuse to go? And it was so hard because I can't emphasize enough, I had negative. I didn't have nothing. I had negative. But I wouldn't allow myself to go to that place that would keep me kind of stuck in the wrong place. I had to stay in a good place. And if I could go to sleep at night and my heart was good and my stomach was good, that was better than having like a fucked up stomach and crying to sleep at night. So I was good. So they're like, you're crazy. And my only option was like, there's no way I'm going to lose. There's no way. And somehow, some way, I'm going to just blow this up and take it to the next level. You don't even want to know what my wife thought. Like, a lot of times when I do crazy stuff, my wife like tries to kind of like play it off and be like, that's good, baby. It's good. But like deep down, I know she's like, man, he's a crazy guy married. So what I knew is who I wanted to work with. So who do you want to work with? Write down who you want to work with right now. Write it down. I don't care if you think it could be done or can't be done. Just the first thing you got to do is write down who do you want to work with. Have a real tight niche. And don't be scared to think that those people can't fit your bill or they can't afford it. Trust me. They could afford it. I'm going to show you how they're going to make their way to you. Who are they? That's number one. I knew that with my background, it was going to be easy to knight myself as an expert because I wrestled. I coached wrestling. That's who I'll train. That made a very easy transition. I also knew their language. I could speak how they spoke. I knew, you know, what hot buttons to push. I knew what they were looking for. Made it very easy. Where are they? I had to know where they're located, where I could find them, because they're not just going to show up. You ever hear that saying, oh, do what you love, money's going to come? You heard that? Come on, that's bullshit. That's a lie. If I was doing what I loved, where were they? You can't sit on your ass. They're not going to come. You need to go and hustle, ride your bike, get in your car. I don't care what you do. Find your way to them. And then what do they want so bad, and what do they need? And if you know that they need something and they want something, you've got to find a way to make them understand that you're the person that solves those solutions. We've been speaking about this probably for so long, but keep it real simple, okay? Keep it real simple. And what I did is I started at a local area, and then I took it to the state level, and then some insane way it went national, and then by some really fucked up way it went international. That's when things were going nuts, okay? But when you start like putting the wheels in motion, that insane law of attraction, it does work. So I started at the local level. I just Googled New Jersey wrestling clubs. So you will Google wherever your niche is and maybe clubs or organizations. So you're just filling in the blank of who you're contacting. There was a list of, it may have been like 30-something clubs. I printed it out. I called every single one, plus I emailed them, plus I did it several times because I knew that it was just the repetition. And also I just knew in my gut that 9 out of 10 people will probably say no. And that's the bottom line. And 9 out of 10 people, or maybe it's like 9 3/4 of people, will quit on the first no. So if we are one of the 200 or however many are here that won't quit when people say no, you're already way ahead of everybody else that's going to quit. I called every single one. So it was like 36 or something like that. Two of them got back to me. And this was the start of something really big. At the state level, I started writing for this wrestling newspaper that went to every wrestler who competed in the off season, which was thousands of people. And I made it simple. I wrote killer content. I gave away great stuff. I didn't hide anything. And I gave them the ability to contact me with a website. So here's your action step. You see the bold part? I want you to write that down. Call/contact. Okay. Call, email, everything, all contact forms. /club/organization in your area/state and offer blank for free. You got to get in front of people. Because what happened is with the internet blowing up so much, you get so hyped up on thinking that I'm going to SEO and I'm going to Google my way. And I don't even know how to, you know, I try to do some of that stuff. The only thing I know is personal trainer, Edison, New Jersey. I don't even know how much that thing's working for me. So if you don't know, like I don't know, then what you do is you've got to make the contacts and you've got to get in front of people. Because you want to know why? If this thing was done online, you wouldn't be that hyped up. You wouldn't be that energetic. But the whole reason for human interaction and doing stuff in the real world is it just soups people up big time. Our energy is 100 times greater. Get in front of people. Calling them, emailing them, that's one thing. But say, I'll come to you for free. I will give you the most. You maybe don't want to speak like me if you're speaking to a certain group. But when I spoke to these coaches, it's like, dude, I will give you the most kick-ass free hands-on seminar. Your kids will love it. You'll love it. You'll have something you could use when I'm not with you. It'll make your club better. I had like 20 different things that made it impossible for him to say no. And then many of them did say no, right? But no doesn't really mean no. I'm going to give you a story. This is a crazy story. We talk about going international. A magazine came out. It was called Bodyguard Magazine. Now it's Tap Out Magazine. They're connected with Tap Out Clothing Gear. Those guys are, you know, making, you know, millions and millions of dollars. They're the leader in, like, mixed martial arts. They came out with a magazine, and I saw the first magazine. And I'm crazy. So I was like, oh, I fucking do this. I'm better than all this stuff that's in this magazine. They were paying people to write articles in exchange to fund the magazine. Well, the crazy thing is the owner left his phone number and email in the magazine. I was like, oh, this guy's nuts, because now I'm the only crazy bastard that's going to call him. I called him, no lie, for like 6 weeks. And they must have been so insanely busy that they couldn't even remember. He couldn't even remember my name. And I was always like, hey, Mr. Pittman, this is Zach Evanesh. I know you're busy, but I just want to tell you, I saw your magazine. I think it's awesome. If you need any information on strength and conditioning, let me know. I could turn it around for you in 24 hours. I'll give you awesome stuff. You will love it. Everybody that reads the magazine will love it. And I'm telling you, it's going to blow your mind. Not only that, I'll promote it to my mailing list, which is just for you. And he was always saying no, always saying no. But in my gut, he never said, fuck you. So I was like, he's good. He never said that to me. It took him like 3 or 4 weeks till he even remembered. Every time I said, hey, Mr. Pittman, this is Zach Evanesh, he's like, okay. And then the first few times I was like, do you remember me? And he was like, no. And I was like, I got to soften this up. I don't need him to keep telling me he doesn't remember me. But he never told me to F off. So I was like, until he said that, no really didn't mean no. So I was being very, very nice. Finally, he says to me, he's like, oh. He goes, look, I think he was getting sick of me. So you're right on the cusp of telling me to go fuck off, or he was going to get me in. And he goes, do this. He goes, do this. He finally remembered me after 4 weeks, and then it took another 2 weeks. He goes, my son wrestles in college. And I go, look, let me send you my stuff. Your son could use it. Because you must think that I'm like full of shit. I have products. I'll send it to you. You could check it out. His son gets the stuff. His son's like, he's like, Dad, this stuff is awesome. This guy's the real deal. They brought me in. But I still do it for free. I leverage the hell out of it. But it was a crazy way to start going international. But it took 6 weeks of him saying, I don't remember who you are, what your name is, what you do. And he kept saying, no, we're full. But no really didn't mean no. So remember what they really got to say to you, okay? You got to leverage your free speaking, the journal that you use. Like I said, I was writing for that journal. My email was there. Special offer. Come and get this free thing. Get people to come to you. And hustle that shit. Don't just try to do one or two ways. It's 100 ways to get one client. Not one way to get 100 clients, okay? You can't give up on this. You got to blow them away with your information. You've got to be great. Make no mistake about it. Good is not good enough. So you've got to be awesome at what you do. Here's what I did. This is what made me like a leveraging machine. Every time I went to these wrestling clubs, I collected emails, names, and phone numbers. Everything. I was like, I could contact them in any which way I could. But I said, I knew people were hesitant. Because at the time, they were like, what's this guy? He's got stuff on the internet. Could be full of it. How am I doing on time? I got like an hour, right? Got an hour? I'm going to move fast. So I collected names and emails. For me, I had to collect parents and kids, right? To make sure that I'm not just talking to kids who could, you know, be blowing it off at the time. And I would say, but at the end, I'm going to pick one or I'm going to pick two of you. You could train with me for free. And I gave them like 2 weeks or 1 week or 4 weeks. I was just throwing anything out there to make it work. Because in a room of 200 people or whatnot, I was going to Swollen. So let's say I said, I'm going to collect everybody's name and email address. Yeah, you may not give it to me, but I say I'm going to collect your names and email addresses. And when I have them all up here at the end, I'm going to pick two of you out. And two of you are going to get XYZ for free with me for the next 4 weeks. Valued at $250, people are going to step right up. But then you also say, if you don't win, don't sweat it, because I'm going to be sending you some awesome information on. So what are you doing that's enticing them, that makes you want to come? So even the people that I didn't give the free trials with, I emailed every single person individually. hey, I'm Zach. Do you remember me from the club? I kicked your ass all over the place. I didn't say like that. And I wanted to follow up with you because I know I gave away those free workouts. Let me know if you want to come down and test drive our workouts for the day. And that was at that time. Now I do it a little differently. I've tightened up the reins a little bit more to make my to just make sure that I pre-qualify people a little bit better. So I contacted everybody individually. Every person's email, I followed up, and several times. And I made it much different. I offered exclusivity to this underground strength crew. That's what I started calling it. People were like, well, what do you do? I was like, well, we don't follow rules. I train how I want to train. I don't really have like this perfect program design, but we train hard. We get crazy results. And back then, I mean, it was very like maverick training. It really did not have any of the systems I had. And I used to tell them, I was like, when you guys train with me, it's fucking different. We're like, look at this picture. I was like, you're like Rocky versus Drago. If you're coming here and you're going to train, you're going to slack off. Get out of here. I was screaming at them, and they craved, like, that thing. They were like, holy crap, this dude is nuts, but they loved it. And because I was different than them just going to the gym one-on-one, come on the leg extension, let's do some lat pull-downs, we were down. In elementary school, they'd be like sprinting up hills. My dad welded sleds for us. They're like running with sleds, pressing picnic tables. Mike Boyle was making fun of me all the time. He's like, that's a freaking whack job pressing picnic tables. And that's all I had. I couldn't buy a goddamn barbell. I was paying bills. I wanted to say to Mike, have mercy on me, brother. Give me time. I'll get the good stuff going. But it was so different that it blew them away. And in a very, very short period of time, word traveled throughout the state. You want to know why? Because in my niche, if we were parents and we were watching our kids wrestle, we're all sitting next to each other. And I was like, why is Jimmy Joe kicking that dude's ass so bad? Oh, you got to see what he's doing. He trains with this guy, Zach. It is crazy. And that buzz started going around. And the word of mouth, that was without referrals, started spreading more and more. So I was able to knight myself as the expert. Very, very different. And even though I was tough on these kids, look, the biggest thing that I couldn't lie or not hide was I cared so much about their success. That's all I wanted. I just wanted them to win. That's all I wanted. So I poured my heart and soul into learning how to be better as a coach, how to take care of them. I spoke to them. I found out like how things are going at school. You know, I really turned this into something tight. I was, you know, Starbucks. I was the third home. Okay, I was that third place for them. And you have to do that. And when you over-deliver like that, your word of mouth multiplies huge. Okay? It's very, very important. You can't mess with that. You've got to just blow it away. And even though I was getting like a couple clients here, I was probably about like four or five clients, I did have many make or break moments, as I call them, like probably all of you did. Okay? That's not my house, guys. Don't mess with me like that. Let me think that's my house, but my wife would like something like that. But we bought a house before we got married. It was a bad house. We had to work on it for a year before we could move in. And in New Jersey, like I said, it's expensive. And this house was so shitty. I don't even know why the hell I bought the house. I must have been crazy. I was going crazy. I was crying myself to sleep at night out of embarrassment that I may not be able to pay this mortgage because I had just enough money to, like, do those closing costs. I had borrowing money from my dad. I'm, like, 27, 28 at the time. It was getting, you know, beyond embarrassing. Like, how much longer will I borrow money and how much longer will, you know, it take for me to just keep getting out of this, like, stuck position? I had a handful of clients, five, six, four guys, okay? The craziest time was, and I'm telling you, I thought I was crazy. I was like, ooh, I'm fucking demented now. I'm really going crazy. Because her mom and I, my wife, were sitting at the table, and it was not even our table. It was like her grandma brought the table over. It was old. We didn't even have furniture. We were borrowing furniture. And she was laying out the bills of what we need, of the new roof and the new windows. And we had to replace every wall in the house. And I also had to pay the mortgage. And every time somebody gave me money to train, it went right to the literally, like, it shouldn't have even gone in my hands. They should have been paying the contractors. It was just going through me. And I was, like, breaking. I was really at a breakdown moment. And her mom's like, well, we got this. And she was buying stuff without me knowing. And, like, you have to reimburse me for this. I was like, I have no fucking money anymore. was like, and guess what? Maybe I won't pay the mortgage this month. Or maybe I will. And maybe they could take this fucking house away. And I remember walking away like this. And I was like, woo, I am fucking nuts now. Now, I was like, now I am really messed up. Because in my head, I saw them like not that I have like a modular home. But I like, in my head, I saw them like towing away my house. And I was like, oh, I may even lose this house. They may come in and take it. Which is no joke, because I know that shit's going on now. But in my mind, I was so crazy and fed up. I was like, fuck it, take my house. You could take everything because I just won't, you know, like, I have no fear. I was like, I've been so down before. Like, go ahead, take my house. Fucking take it all. And those moments were like the test. Are you going to quit, Zach? You're going to be a quitter and go back in your hole? Or are you going to man up, suck it up, and do it? And it always reminded me of my grandfather who used to work the night shift, and then he'd come home and build a house. He built a house. He had like a little room, and he built a flat underneath, fruit trees around the house, everything. And my dad and uncle used to work with him, and he laughed because he would outwork my dad and uncle. He's like, I outworked them. And I was twice their age, and I just finished like a 10-hour shift. He was worked at like a cement factory. And I was like, man, not only that, my grandfather lost his whole family through the Holocaust. So if I'm complaining about my house or anything, I would suck. I would suck if I did that. So I was like, screw this. I am not freaking losing. I had those times, ups and downs, as you do. And you could quit and give up, which 99.99% of people do, or you just push onward. And things will happen. And as they did. And it took time. It's not 1 month, 1 year. It's years. It takes many years. So I knew that I had to go big time. Alan Cosgrove had spoken to me, and we used to spend a lot of time on the phone. And this guy, Alan Cosgrove, just, man, this guy really gave me a lot. And he said, look, you need to get out of your garage, because I don't care how many articles you've written. Everybody around the world knows you. You can't be big time. You want to be big time? Get your gym. Fucking take the jump. He's like, I had my gym. I didn't have clients. I had nothing. I had an opening party. I had beer. He's like, I just friggin' did it. He took the jump. He was like daring me. And he was like, 10 minutes. Oh, my God. So he was basically saying, he's like, look, if you don't take the jump after I give you all this information, you're a friggin' pussy. So do it. So I was like, man, I need to go and find a gym. And it was the leap of faith, and it was my time to say, that's it. I barely have money. Let me friggin' get the gym. I was training clients out of the garage. I had about 12 guys. I pumped my referral system into high gear. I was like, I got to get 20 guys in here to make sure that I could cover my rent and make what my rent was. So my rent was $1,500, and I wanted to make like $3,000 a month. So I had $1,500, get $1,500 back. I told all my guys, I said, dudes, you know your underground shirts? You need to make your minds up and come up with a day where you all wear those freaking shirts when you go to school. You're in the goddamn Underground Strength Club, and you're wearing them together. You don't wear it on Friday, and you're on Monday. No, same fucking day. Everybody put your shirts together and strut those hallways. And they were like, okay, we're doing it on Friday. And the kids in the private schools, they're like, dude, dress down day Friday. Underground. Everybody was busting out their underground shirts. I didn't know how to do any fancy marketing, so I figured, boom, I'm going to crank these shirts. YouTube. I knew my kids were watching YouTube. They were using it with their phones. They were doing it in school. They were showing their friends. They were showing their teachers. Some of their teachers were athletic coaches who pulled me in to help them. So I targeted my market where they use it. And YouTube is huge. Now I'm freaking on a whole ass. Jim Abedi, I got more than 10 minutes, son. All right. Listening to normal people. This is the biggest mistake. This is the biggest mistake. Don't do this. Don't listen to normal people. Normal people, normal success. Okay? When you leave here, don't forget what you have here in your gut and don't sell out. Do what you want. I opened my gym and everybody's like, Zach, just get anybody in there. Train everybody in there, grandma, and that's how you're going to make the money. And I cut my niche. I decided I would train everybody. I started trying to hold these small groups. I had people coming in that I just could not, in my gut, it just wasn't fun for me. The training was great for them, but it wasn't good for me. Normal people acquire normal success. I was doing what everybody else did. I went backwards, and I said, shit, I have to get back to where I am. Now, check out these quotes. I put these up in my office downstairs, and I read them all the time. because I wanted to remind myself to stop being a chicken and break the rules. Be creative. Start scaring yourself. It's a little scary. Suck it up. Do it. Explore the unthinkable. Do what nobody else is doing, what nobody else is talking about. Here's the big one. Babe Ruth. Don't let the fear of striking out hold you back. Babe Ruth was the home run king, but he was also the strikeout king. He struck out so much because he was always swinging for the fences. He didn't want to hit a single or a double. Maybe a single or double is good for you. But it's in my mind, I wanted home run and grand slam. So you got to decide where you're going and how big you want to be. But I suggest no singles or doubles. Friggin' blast. Go full force. So I was scrolling through YouTube, and I came across my buddy Arnell's videos, and it was like, how to get ribbed like Brad Pitt in Fight Club. And then that other video, related video, show up, and it's like, rules of Fight Club. And they're coming out. He's like, you're too fat. Your tits are too big. Like, get off this porch. And I was like, shit, I'm going to run my gym like Fight Club. I'm going back to exactly how it is. I told my guys, you guys are referring people here that suck. They don't even make it through the warm-up. They're crying. We have this, like, bench. These kids are out here. They're, like, crying. They don't know my legs. I ate salad today. My stomach's messed up. I was freaking out on some of these kids that were coming. I was like, who are you bringing here? I gathered all my asses. You guys said, this is what you guys are doing. You're going to stop talking about this gym. Nobody needs to know about this gym except for, and I laid it out in line. I said, I want tough kids. I go, I don't care if they're out of shape or weak. I want tough kids. Stop referring to me these friggin' wimps. They're crying all the time. These guys suck. I sent kids home. You don't even know. I don't even know. I can't believe I did some of the shit I was saying. I was really getting more and more demented. I was like, go home. I told them, here's what you do. I want tough kids. I want their parents to know about it. Tell them to go to the website so they could see the prices. I pre-qualified more and more. Nobody's coming here anymore who's, you know, not even going to tough it out through, you know, a simple warm-up of skipping and movement patterns and things like that. Like those movement patterns, my boys got to throw the movement patterns. I have that now. And they were, I was like, I want specific guys. And that's who they started bringing. People were highly pre-qualified. I got only who I wanted. The gym started pumping. Okay? And look, I was at a point where I was about to shut down the gym. People were telling me to shut it down. Maybe you should shut it down. Maybe just do the internet. I was like, no motherfucking way. I am winning, and I'm not doing it. I tightened up that referral system big time. I told them exactly what I wanted. Rule 4, this is the toughest one. Run your business like you don't need the money. It's very hard. It was very hard for me as a father with kids to start running this crazy rules in a gym that was like insane. That's what I did, and my clientele doubled. I shit you not. Right now we're at like 42, 45 people. They pay anywhere from like $250 to $375 a month. You do the math. 40 people at $250 grosses $10,000. If your overhead is $1,500 for rent, you have five. Nah, LaBeatty, I'm fucking going, brother. No, I'll go like 7 minutes. I'll go a little bit more. You got to do the math, okay? Do the math. And here's another rule I did. Very cool. I limited the membership and I put people on a waiting list. I was like, I said, that's it. I got 40 people in here and I care about you guys. I'm not letting anybody come in here and mess it up for you because I want you to win. Somebody who wants to come in, you're going to have to wait until I've got a time slot that's open and things that work for them. And my kids and my parents started respecting that big time. They saw that I cared even more. They liked the way I speak to them. They loved the discipline that I was giving. And they loved the fact that I wasn't just herding people in. I was showing that I cared. Pay attention to your prospect. I know exactly what father is rolling up going to talk to me if he has a Jaguar, an Acura, a Lexus, or the F-150 truck. I know exactly what he's looking for. I know what he's going to talk about. I know what questions I need to ask to hit those hot spots to make them emotional. Okay, I made a big mistake once, and Pat really hit home. They were doing a consultation at my gym, and this guy came, and I told him what I would do. I was hyped up. I was like, I'm going to show Pat Nick how I fucking make a sale here. Dude, this guy was probably like, peace out. He never even became a client. Pat was like, you talk too much. Ask questions. And I was like, I know, I was excited, man. You got to ask questions that answers and solidifies the reasons why they want to become your client. Okay? That's very important. Ask questions. Get them emotional. Rules of the Renegade. Very important. I'm going hyper speed, guys. Stay with me. Price elasticity. Stop being so cheap. But you got to be freaking good, okay? My prices of even our most expensive membership price only comes out to like $33 per workout. But the self-confidence, the character building, how they feel, the community I bring them into, the possibilities of college scholarships, all those things soften everything, okay? The transaction size. I don't need 100 members. All I needed was 40 members to gross 10,000 and net 8,000. I have more than 40 members. Don't let the economy fool you. If you ask the right questions and people want it, they will be attracted to you and with the right referral system. Create membership, not sessions. You're not selling 10 sessions or any of that. You train with me for 3 months, you train with me for 6 months, or you train with me for a year. I'm not doing a quick fix. If you're not serious, this is not for you. Okay? Or always have like a downsell. This is probably not for you, but you can check out my website. This might be a more valuable option for you. Shoot me an email and I'll help you, you know, make a decision if you got ebooks or anything like that. I want to just tell you about something with my homeboy Paul Ruddick. Paul Ruddick is back there. This guy, I'm going to talk to you about the amazing experience. I met Paul. He was like very hunkered over on the internet. He's in the baseball niche. But he gave me some cool information. Real cool information is something called the fear of disconnect. Because Paul had a baseball pitching club where people would pay thousands of dollars up front. But he created this amazing experience. And when I met him at the beach, I was like, bro, we got to get the hell out of here. He was like, Zach, you're married. You seem like everything's going well. I ain't got no girl. I was like, bro, I'm going to help you. Now he's married. Things are going well. This was down at the Jersey Shore. And I think, you know, he used to wear those shoes, but now he's kicking back. He's got flip-flops. This is the rule, that fear of disconnect. What happens if they're not with you anymore? They're going to be scared of what they're losing out on. Is your experience that amazing that they fear missing out on you? My clients are kind of like in like an iron cage. They have blinders on. They don't see all the outside marketing because they're so devoted. They have so much love for what they do. That's like the ultimate punishment. If they're misbehaving and their parents say, you're not going to underground, they straighten up big time. Okay? The investment softening. I'm going to talk about the story in a second. Frequency rewards. Rite of passage. After 1 year, we give out camouflage shirts. Can't represent that camel shirt unless you're here with us for a year. Similar to what, like, karate places do it, like the black belts or jujitsu, things like that. My members get special perks. We have a physical newsletter that I send out to them. It reminds them of referrals. It tells them how to send referrals. I have special events, fundraisers, rafting trips, you know, anything that you could do to make it exclusive and make them feel part of the club. You're going to, you know, kind of angle that according to who you work with. I work with athletes who have a certain mentality, so I run it that way. Angle it for your clientele. Make it exclusive. Okay? You're worth every penny, guys. Start believing it. Just got to rage against the norm. Powerful stories. If somebody's like thinking about like why they didn't come or they start thinking, should I come? Paul Ruddick told me to say, you always have those like two stories of what makes them kind of look like an asshole. Well, you have these two stories. Well, Dan came to me and he was just on varsity and he was barely breaking 500. And so did Jimmy was going to come, but Jimmy decided not to. But after Dan came to us for a full year, he became all-state. He placed seventh in the state, and Jim never made it out of the districts. So you start relating stories because the stories tell better than what you do. You could talk, you know, all about yourself, but give them stories to relate to about people they know that makes them feel like, damn, that's what it's about. Get to them. What, you know, talking about like social media and all that, where do they frequent most? I'm putting all kinds of pictures of our workouts up on Facebook. The kids share them. They tag them. Other kids see it. They send me messages. I want to try your gym. Well, who do you know? How have you been referred to me? Have you seen my website? Have your parents look at the prices? Why do you want to train with me? Pre-qualify. Leverage all that. Let them take videos with their cell phones or whatever they want to do to share with their friends. Real world stuff. Don't be stuck on the internet. Get out there. Hugging, shaking hands, laughing. The relationships are what heighten the human experience. That's what's going to get people, you know, coming to you. It's the experience. Do the real world stuff, online and offline. Thank you. If you want in, I've got 20 sheets of paper. I'm going back there. You guys rock. Thank you.